Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Welcome to episode 128 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. It's weird to be back filming a podcast.
Man, it's crazy because it's only been a week since we did the last one. Yeah. Actually, it's been a little bit longer than that.
It's been about a week and a half,
let's say. And it feels so doggone rusty, but I'm glad to be back in the saddle again. We'll cover more of that in a little bit. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from TwoOldCrowsHomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Get all of your, all the things you can't do yourself, y'all. Get it over there, including your seeds. They got a lot of preparedness stuff over there, and these people are off the hizzle fo shizzle, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Fountain App, y'all. Remember, if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out over there. You can listen to all your podcasts over there and even triple up the speed if you would like. And if you like, you can drop some sets right here at the Permaculture Pimpcast. So, well, I'm not too far out of whack. It felt like I was missing something this whole time because we've been on something of a, let's call it a party with a purpose, but we'll cover more of that in the main topic and how it might apply to you. So, getting back in the saddle, son, we just got back not long ago, and I feel like a pig on roller skates like you always do. I don't care if I leave for a weekend, and then when you come back, it just feels like you're learning everything all over again. Work levels are through the roof because the stuff you did, at least the things I do exclusively or the things your mom does exclusively that nobody else does, just kind of pile up when you're not there. And it's not like, well, I'm driving and being able to do any of this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And you guys are about to leave again.
Yeah.
You guys are about to hit the road tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to leave. And we'll cover that in a minute. But yeah, man, it's good that you can take off and you got everything in order. Just to let you know, son, cut that silver grass down to the stump.
Okay.
But yeah, outside of that, I mean, it's kind of cool to be able to leave and have everything in order. And, you know, when you have a farm sitter or something like that, you never know if you were able to translate things over to them. But when it's a person that regularly does the chores with you, you know, you can leave and know that everything's squared away. Now, moving that sheep tractor, of course, you had to enlist the help of your cousin.
Right, yeah. But, and Emily can't help me, obviously, because she's pregnant.
Well, I mean, we're in a place where that, well, we're going to eventually phase that thing out in time. But right now, it's what we use. It's a pretty handy tool. So, yeah, glad to be back in the saddle. So how was everything back here?
I mean, everything went pretty smoothly with the animals. There weren't any issues with any of them. I mean, moving them, the only difficult part was moving the sheep tractor, but, you know, Kendra helped me with that. Just kind of in maintenance mode the whole time. That was basically it.
It's amazing to me, even if I leave for a couple of days when you're not here, it's amazing the perspective you get when you come back, because it might as well have been a whole season change.
Yeah.
Because that's how much it changes. I mean, it's one thing if it's in the winter.
Well, it did change quite a bit while you were gone. Like, just the weather by itself. When you left, it felt like a North Carolina summer, and then when you came back, it started staying, like, the highs were like 70s, I think. That's what the highs are now for the most part.
Yeah, it was about 10 degrees cooler up in Canada, which, by the way, I'm going to tell you, look, there's a whole lot to unpack there, and it's going to take a while to do it. But I mean, just let me just cover this part right off. Canadian TV, y'all. Absolutely. Okay, so on the way up there, you know, the only time we ever watch TV is in a hotel or something like that, because it's not like we got it here. So we put it on, and then the only thing either one of us can stomach, and even that to varying degrees, is Your mom wants to see those baking challenges on Food Network.
Yep.
So she had that little subscription that we have here, but she never watches it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned on the TV in the hotel room, and sure enough, I mean, good night. I think you could automatically see the mood and the energy in us change almost immediately. And then it's going back every single commercial. It's worse than I ever remember it. Mm. I put on the news channels. I want to see how they're lying to us. And it's even when you don't watch TV for that long, and then when you do, the lies just jump off. I mean, everything they say is a lie, but the commercials, nearly every doggone commercial is a pharmaceutical ad.
Yeah.
And then filled in between there, depending on which channel you go to, is some sort of smut that they have on there. I mean, it could be trans testicles. You name it, man. It's all right there embedded into this stuff. So we get over to Canada, and, well, that was a whole story unto itself, just crossing the border. We get over there, and the border guard's like, oh, you're Americans? Well, check this out. We got this prison you might want to go check out. And I'm like, what? After she gave us the what for trying to get in here.
Yeah.
So I drive 30 miles out of the way to go check out this prison. We get to the prison, and I'm like, why did I just drive here? We look at this prison, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I ever did in my life.
Do you remember the name of it?
Your mom does, but I don't. She's like, yeah, it's like our version of Alcatraz. And I'm like, okay, that is never in a million years something I'm going to go watch. We pull up to the prison, didn't even get out of the car and said, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
But we did notice that all the Canadian boys and girls, all their high schools, man, were, literally kids walking around playing.
Outside,
nobody on their phones, everybody like kicking the ball around. And later on, I found out from Stefan Subkoviak as to why that is. But I mean, that's pretty normal up there for these guys.
Is it because of the winter?
It's coming on and they're trying to suck it all in. But even still, they play outside. The kids are outside playing. So then we spend the night up there, and this place was a dump. I mean, we thought it was.
Hold on. What place, Dad?
It was whatever this hotel
not
was.
Miracle Farms, right?
No. Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah. So the hotel we stayed in was a complete dump, but when we booked it, it was like no matter where we went, every time we went to, every hotel practically was booked. Well, yeah. This is one we come to find out where it was like their version of Section 8, but, you know, it was halfway clean. And so I turned on the Canadian TV. Same exact kind of stuff, but zero pharmaceutical ads and zero smut.
Hmm.
This was actually stuff. And then I get up in the morning, put on the morning news in Canada. They got their version of Good Morning America, the whole nine yards. And it was a joy to watch. It was actually a joy. Like, hey, instead of focusing on it bleeds, it leads,
mm-hmm.
these folks were actually having conversations about all the wonderful things that are happening that day. It was really something else. And there's more to unfold there. But yeah, that's one of the big things that I'll cover right off. So
that's
other
cool.
Yeah, other farm news. So we got back, and of course my old truck, nearly 300,000 miles on that thing, and it's really starting to show its age. So I went out and got another one yesterday. And like, as always, y'all, we don't spend full price for nothing, and we don't buy anything brand new for the most part, unless it's something, you know, underwear. But outside of that, I mean, so I went and got this. I remember hitting up Jason at Sow the Land, and I was asking him how he felt about his truck, and which is a Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah. Is it the...
Yeah, he's got a Tacoma.
Okay.
Or no, what's the
little
one?
The smaller one is.
Yeah, well...
There's the Tundra and the Tacoma.
Okay,
the Tacoma.
He's got the Tacoma, yeah. So I was asking him about it, and then everything I've been looking, I was like, man, I've always had Fords. Man, let me go out here and see what I can find. Every Ford you can find is, you know, I mean, if it's a truck, I mean, it's either old, they're wanting a fortune for it.
Yeah.
There's one I looked at yesterday, 200,000 miles on it, man, and they want a fortune for that, and it don't even run right. I mean, the wheel's shimmying down the road. And then I got in that Tundra, and I'm like, okay, I don't care what it is, you're going to spend a fortune for it.
Dad's got rims now.
Man, I did not. This is not the truck I was looking for, believe me. This is not at all what I was looking for. I mean, the mileage, you know, it ain't perfect, but this is about what I bought this, that last Ford. I bought it at $150,000.
You're definitely getting pulled over with this truck, Dad.
Well, I mean,
need to get you one of those Mexican cartel print PIMP stickers on the back window.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing something crazy, but
hang a flag out the tailgate.
Yeah, dude, I was thinking about doing something crazy, but I was like, man, I've always driven Fords, you know, I mean, I've always gotten a lot of life out of them, but I heard so much about these Tacomas. I was like, okay, well, you know, I ain't making no payments on nothing, so it better be what I can afford. So we go up there with cash, and the guy's like, well, how do you want to finance this? I'm like, finance nothing, dude. We're going to pay for this right now. And so cash is king, man. I'm like, okay.
Did they call the cops?
No, I was like, dude, you should have seen this dude trying to count out some 20s.
Dang, you brought 20s up there.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, man. This is how I roll. And he's like, I was like, so I got cash, man. You're gonna cut me a deal. And so he cut me a deal. And but it was cash, you know. I was like, I mean, if it costs more than this, that's on you, Jack. I mean, we ain't making a deal. I know this is what you're asking, but this is what I got in cash.
But this better be the total.
Yeah, yeah. So make it enough.
Fat boy.
I'm like, dude, you better make it enough, because. But honestly, when I slapped that cash out, he was singing a different tune. I was like, this is what I got. This is what I'm like, this is what I brought. So you're going to have to make it enough or I'm walking. So, yeah, he was okay with it. So got a truck out there, and, folks, that ain't something I get excited about. I mean, you asked me last night, how do you feel about that truck or whatever? I'm like, dude, it ain't no different than a rake to me.
The part that's exciting, I would think would be exciting, is the ability to drive from point A to point B without the thought in the back of your head, like, yeah, oh, this might break down.
Yeah, there's always that with every vehicle we got. Yeah, I mean,
literally.
Instead of our best vehicle being 25 years old, this one's 15 years old. So.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Like, that one car that James and Ashley's dad has for sale.
Yeah.
I was thinking, wow, that's pretty doggone new. And then I was thinking about it. I was doing the math in my head. I'm like, that thing is 10 years old.
No, yeah.
If it was a kid, it could learn how to drive.
Yeah, well, that's how we buy things. We don't ever, you know, instead of going out there, man, guys used to make fun of me for that. Like, why are you driving that old truck, man? You make good money. I'm like, dude, what you don't realize is that's not where my interests lie. I'm trying to get out of this.
Yeah.
I mean, and going into debt for a truck payment just ain't going to happen. Had a conversation with Ben Holler about that very thing. They were needing a new vehicle. But they ain't paying for anything that they can't buy with cash either.
But there's also the, like, how much do we spend in a year on rentals as well?
Yeah, well, there is that
too.
Yeah, but at least that's a tax write-off. But, yeah, got a truck out there. To me, I mean, yeah, it's a little, I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit pimped out more than I want. I mean, it's got the big tires and all that kind of stuff, which really don't mean nothing to me. I mean, it's just another tool.
Well, I was thinking,
and I'm still driving my old truck.
Might want to eventually get like the stock rims. Yeah, Dad hasn't even driven the new truck. He drove it home and it's just sitting there.
It's sitting there.
You might want to get like stock rims on that if you could, because they have like those low profile rims on it right now. And I don't know how well that's going to do with what you're trying to do with it.
Well, at the end of the day, man, all I care about, does it turn on when I put the key in there? And these Toyotas, you know, back years ago, I had a Corolla when me and your mom first got married.
I remember.
Man, that thing's probably still running.
It
was
the one that you had to paint Geo or something,
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other story.
I don't know why I remember that.
So, yeah, so other surprise I come back to, and we got to do a video on this, but we got June-bearing strawberries blowing up in September. Have you tasted any?
I haven't. Emily has, though. She said they were off the hook.
These strawberries, I mean, this is the same ground cover that we had down in the food forest. The same exact ground cover. These strawberries are more luscious, more rich, more flavorful, which means, you know, strawberry shortcake in my future. But I can't even believe how much, I mean, we got, I don't know, probably 100 gallons before.
Yeah.
Now it looks like it's kicking off. I don't know that it's going to be as much, but it might be 80 gallons. I mean, so we're getting double harvest out of these things, and it is absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
What's happening down there? I have to drop some off at that ice cream store.
When you said ripe, that reminded me, I've been editing all the videos that you did with Stefan Subkoviak.
Yeah, man, I've been calling this dude like he's living in the hood, man.
Stefan Subkoviak up in Canada. The way he was describing, like, he only eats like a handful of apples a year. And yeah. It has to be sitting in the sun for, has to be warmed up by the atmosphere first. That part had me dying laughing in here.
So much. I want to cover that in the main topic, man, because I'm telling you, it is little nuanced things that, good night, man. I just feel like I got a PhD understanding about certain things. We'll cover that here in a little bit, but here, before we go into good news, bad news, y'all, I want to let you know this weekend, back to the Land Festival, I'm going to be out there. And embarrassingly, I'm going to be signing books if you should desire one. I'll be out there with Matt Hundley, also the co-author, and hopefully a lot of you out there. So that, you know, I don't know that we're going to link that down below, but just go to backtotheland.com, backtotheland.com. That's this weekend. Michelle and I is going to be there. And it's always a wonderful family-friendly thing.
Well, I think it has been linked down there before. If not, I'll link it down below.
Okay.
But, yeah. Well, you guys should go check out Mom and Dad.
Yeah, not long after that, y'all. Farm Where You Live, that's going to be October 7th. We're not going to be there, but the Pimp Daddy of Polyface is going to be there. Also, Sean and Beth Doherty, they're going to be there. Remember, check out their book. I've highly recommended it in the past. They're also really, really good when you see them live, and they're really good at answering any questions you have. October 20th through the 22nd, Mountain Readiness. I'm going to be there. I'm even going to be teaching a knot tying class. How about that? So bring your kids. It's going to be fun for everybody.
What weekend is that again?
That's going to be October 20th through the 22nd.
That is exactly the due date for the baby.
Okay, well, right after that, so it might be a week later, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. So, yeah, a lot of – this is when the festivals really, really get hot and heavy, and you pretty much got them around the year, but it's always cool when you're able to go to these things in the fall. It's usually tougher for us because we don't really slow down. This is one of the lessons that I should have got from really Joel from way back, that we've never really slowed down, and I don't see how I can right now. All right, y'all, made a mistake because I'm a little bit out of practice, but before we get into good news, bad news, we're going to homesteading Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Reading the scripture about Jeremiah reminds me that I'm on the right side, and I hope you are as well. What I mean by the right side is standing up, being a voice for the unborn to help protect the unborn babies. Because if God knew them, and he does, before they were ever formed, just like you and I, it's our job then to protect these children and be a voice for the unborn and to stand up and protect those that are born. You see, you never know what you're raising in a child. It could be the next singer, the next preacher, evangelist, a doctor, a lawyer, or even a president. Yes, I said president because we've seen that anybody can become president these last couple of years. That bar has been set very, very low. We also need to be reminded that our children are the living messages that we send to a time we will not see. And the question we should ask ourselves is, what kind of message are we sending to the future? And then lastly, we need to be reminded that every one of us play an important role in a child's life to help lead that child and guide that child in the right direction. Because who knows what they're going to become? But one thing's for sure, we got to give them a fighting chance. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Plant that seed in a child's life today that's been born. I had the opportunity to dedicate my nephew's son, infant son, yesterday at church with great honor and privilege to dedicate that child, pray over that child, and give him back unto God from whence he came for him to use that child in any way he sees fit. They're important, y'all. We need to protect the children in this country and around the world from the evilness that's wreaking havoc in their lives.
Amen to all that. There's the homesteading pastor, y'all. Go check him out on YouTube and subscribe. Amen to all of that. And then, you know, he brings this up. I make no bones about the fact that I'm a political atheist. And when any of these polecat politicians get out of order, believe me, I'm going to call it out. And I don't care who doesn't like it. You know, this thing the other day with Trump and his stance on this, dude, I wonder how many evangelicals said, what? What did you just say? About? I mean, regarding the unborn and his position on that, it looks like he did a 180 on that. So all you people on that Trump wagon, you might want to consider some of this stuff.
Yeah, listen to that and then go back and listen to the Kill the Mockingbirds episode, Trump 316.
Oh, yeah. So you might want to check that out. All right, bad news, good news. Thanks again, Pastor Lon. And like I said, y'all, you want to go check him out. Okay, so right in the bad news, there's no shortage of that. And for those that are new, remember, for every one bad news, we give you two good. So hang in there.
Call it Canadian news.
That's right. At least today it's going to be, well, the Canadian news, I don't even know. Believe me, if they touch the bad news, they just kind of drift over it. I mean, they tell you, hey, it happened, but let's, you know, it's like they titrate you with the good stuff. They leave you on a happy note. You could ask your mom. It was actually a joy to watch Canadian TV. It was actually a real joy.
Well, British Columbia is still on fire, but on the brighter side, the Tigers won 3-2 last night.
All right, so some of the bad news. Okay, check this one out, y'all. This is treason on video. Border Patrol cuts barbed wire to allow illegal aliens to invade the USA. I actually watched this video, and it was jaw-dropping. You can literally see the illegals just got over maybe 15 to an inner tube or whatever, however they got across. And then you got these two Border Patrol, and it's not razor wire. It's not barbed wire. It's actually, it looks like concertina wire.
What's that?
And it's basically, imagine razor wire that you see above a prison, but it's not a razor blade. It basically digs into you, and it'll rip you up. I mean, I put in a lot. I probably put in miles of this stuff, probably all over the Middle East. And all over Fort Bragg, for that matter, Fort Carson, you name it, I put miles of this stuff in. Huh. And so literally, it looks like, from what I can tell from the video, these guys go over there, cut the concertina wire, use a rope to yank it open, and then start helping out all these illegals that just crossed the border into the United States. They were walking on the other side of it like, okay, man, hey, Holmes, we going to find another place to cross, Holmes.
I wonder if he's like, hurry up, we need to get you guys to New York.
Yeah, well, it could have been that. It could have been that. I'll tell you what, a lot of those illegals they sent up to Chicago and New York, they're going to be singing a different tune in about a month.
Oh, yeah. Like, if not now, I mean,
they're going to be like, send me on the first thing smoking back home.
Yeah.
If they haven't, like you said, if they haven't now. So that's bad news. I mean, there's worse news. But I didn't want to go completely, you know, nasty, nasty, nasty. All right, good news. So check this. It's not going to sound necessarily like good news, but wait till you hear my twist on it. Dr. Lee Merritt, she has a show called the Merritt Medical Hour. I'm a big fan of her work. And she says parasites and toxins are often the root cause of disease. So why is that good news? Because honestly, they have parasite and toxin cleanses out there. I just did a parasite cleanse, and there's places out there you can go find them. There's no shortage of them out there. Your mom did one. I did one. And
Peters has an advertisement for one as well.
Yeah. I don't want to necessarily endorse one or another yet. But I'm thinking, okay, with all the junk out there, I mean, maybe you take ivermectin. Okay, that gets some of the worms out. Or maybe you go ahead and take some of these other natural remedies like I did. And some people do it on the full moon. There's a whole lot of other things. But the reason I'm saying this is good news is, in the article, they did like all kinds of like autopsies and stuff on these people. Mm-hmm. And they were finding out that all these people like multiple sclerosis. I can never say that right. All 10 of the people they checked down in autopsies down in New Zealand, every last one of them, were infested with worms. So that's something to consider. I mean, and there's a lot of other naturopaths out there that say, man, this, you know, there's a whole lot of disease going on out there because of these worms that are in people and you have no idea. So there are toxin removers out there. And as far as the toxins and stuff out there, there's a lot of, you know, fasting is one way to remove a lot of this stuff. So just keep in mind, I'm going to call that good news. Now, here's another piece of good news. Florida becomes first state to officially advise against the new COVID-19 boosters. How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
So
I wonder, I mean, but also, like, where you've known this whole time that it was bad. Like, they've known this whole time. But they're just now admitting it.
Well,
and they're just now advising not getting the new ones, as if the old ones were okay.
Well, now that this, you know, now that it's officially stated, now people have license to believe. Pastor Lama's telling me about him being in a doctor's office for something or another, had to do with one of his kids, and the guy's coming in there asking, I'm going to loosely quote it, but it's basically going up in there like, hey, y'all got the new booster yet?
What?
Like, what? Oh, my goodness, man. I mean, even Dr. Malone, the guy who invented this technology, is telling people, are you out of your mind? Do not take this stuff. Yeah. All right, with that said, y'all, we're going to go into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the return of surplus. Permaculture is about sustainability. Sustainability requires that we produce more energy than we consume. And the only way to do that is to produce a surplus. And the surplus must be returned to the system for maintenance and repair. This is why the third ethic of permaculture is the return of surplus. This is the only way to have a permanence of culture. Energy is in surplus once the system itself has available all its needs for growth, reproduction, and maintenance. And that energy can be expressed as spare time, money, or zucchinis. But before we export energy off our sites, we must make sure our system is taken care of first. Just like on an airplane, you're required to put on your own oxygen mask before helping others. And if we want to obtain a surplus, we must partner with perennial species. This is how we leverage our efforts to obtain an increasing yield over time. We are familiar with fruit trees and shrubs, but there are a whole host of perennial vegetables that we can incorporate into our system. I definitely recommend checking out the book, Perennial Vegetables, by Eric Tonesmeyer. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
Well, we're both wearing his t-shirts right now.
We're both wearing the same shirt, actually, just different colors.
Different colors. That's right, y'all. He's got the
preparedness.
He's got the most, I mean, when it comes to t-shirts, I mean, I remember wearing one of his shirts when I showed up to Greg Judy's place, and he's like, where do I get one of those? Yeah. I met a dude out there in Arizona. As soon as I hit the ground, I'm looking for what's going on permaculture-wise in Arizona. Saw that shirt. It was another shirt Eric made. He's like, where do I get one of those? And I still got to send that guy one. Totally. Man, I'm glad I remembered. I need to make sure I get him a shirt. Anyway, check him out. But regarding that third ethic, man, that's a big one for me, y'all. Return of surplus. I mean, in fact, you can't be generous. You can't be generous unless you have a surplus. And I love what he said about the perennial stuff. Okay, oh, yeah. Just talked about it. Strawberries.
Yep.
I mean, good night. I mean, we're going to start doing a whole lot more when it comes to perennial vegetables.
Yeah, I want to get that book. That sounds pretty
yeah,
cool.
I'm a big fan of that dude, and I can't, it's embarrassing, I don't have that book, so yeah, we'll be getting that one. Once again, check out my man Eric Sider. You can check him out on YouTube, and like I said, his shirts are the shiz knit.
Also, consultations are linked down below for him.
Yeah, so you want to definitely check him out for a remote consultation. All right, y'all, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. You want to think about your most deadly threat out there, and for most people, that's going to be lightning. So not only does it arrest EMPs, your most important, your most prominent threat is definitely lightning. So why wouldn't you have that, especially when they got a 25G guarantee? Remember, check it out. Boy, I didn't even mean to do that, but that was balling. Gotta admit.
Not even trying to rap, just talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we should do a whole show rhyming. Just the whole thing, man. Let me break it loose.
We would all go crazy. The listeners and us.
They'd be like, way down in the jungle deep, a lion stepped on a simplified monkey's feet. Okay, I'm going to leave it right there. Okay.
I tried to watch that with Emily. We didn't get very far.
Yeah, you can't.
She did not want to watch that movie.
Yeah, that's some hood rat humor, y'all, that you ain't ever going to understand. In fact, I wouldn't even watch that junk today. But anyway, we're going to get into the main topic here, and it's a little bit different, but I always like to tie it into something that's actually going on and something we've done. So I'm going to suggest to a lot of you out there, I've been critical in the past of some of the people, anybody that's listened to this show, you know that I have, of, you know, the people I know that as soon as COVID kind of came and went, I don't know that it ever went because certain segments never stopped wearing the mask. You have people on nonstop vacation. Okay, if that's what you want to do, that's your money. You do what you got to do. But hey, when things jump off, it better not be a Snoop Dogg song where you got me some Seagram's gin, everybody got some cups, but they ain't chipped in. So it better not be one of those things where, oh, you blew all your money on vacation, on nonsense, and then you come to me. But I want to suggest another way of taking a vacation. And it really cites the way we always take vacation, at least me and your mom.
Yeah.
It's always a working vacation. And it's the way, honestly, Greg Judy does it. It's the way Joel does it. I mean, Joel said one time in his life, I think he and his wife ever went to a single place where it was really kind of a vacation. And I think it only happened once in his life.
But his wife also doesn't like to travel. She's not an extrovert very much, is she?
Well, they were visiting family.
Oh, okay.
As I recall. Yeah. So, and then typically, I can't remember the last time I ever went to a place where I didn't at least know somebody. Not to say that you shouldn't go out there and be, you know, and seek these other relationships.
Arizona. You didn't know anybody out in there. I mean, it was still a working vacation.
Well, it was still work, but generally. Yeah,
you didn't know anybody out there.
And if I don't know anybody, believe me, like I told you, when I hit that ground, first thing I did was go find me, where's the permaculture going on out here?
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be there, this is, when I say permaculture is my passion, y'all, I mean it. So when I go somewhere, I'm looking for every and any possible thing. And that's exactly what we do. So what I'm going to suggest to you is maybe, just maybe, if you're going to be in this homestead space, if you're going to be in this farming space, anything like it, preparedness space, and you go to any of these festivals, maybe treat it like that's your vacation. Especially a lot of us that don't necessarily have a lot of disposable income. Like I told you a minute ago, when I bought a truck, look, we save our pennies around here. I drive old trucks. I drive old vehicles so I can save money. So when these don't work anymore, they're looking like they're on their way out. I got money for that. Well, we put a fair amount of money also into our education. Folks, if you only knew, in fact, son, I would honestly say that might be our biggest expense.
Yeah, I would say so.
Definitely this year,
spent more on education than vehicles.
By far. I mean, just this year on education alone, we have spent a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, when I go on things like this, so when I reach out to Stefan Subkoviak, man, I keep butchering that dude's name. I'm calling him Stefan like he lives in the hood, man.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute to switch back.
So Stefan Subkoviak, he reached out to us first, and then I was like, hey, you got a phone number? Let me call you up, because dude, it's near impossible to get a hold of you. Call him up, catch him, and he's like, yeah, come on up. And I'm like, okay, this is like the number one permaculture orchardist on the planet.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm not going up there. But if I'm going, I'm going to try to get as much out of this as I possibly can. So we stack things. Look, folks, I'm not being critical. If you just want to take a vacation and go to the beach, fine, do it. I'm just saying another way in which we go about doing it is we stack functions. So right when we took off, I mean, we didn't even plan the trip until a day before.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Didn't even.
Yeah, I was bugging you guys about planning it before.
Yeah. Only thing we had reserved was a rental car. That was it.
Yeah.
We didn't plan. We didn't do anything else until the day of. I'm like, okay, I know he's in Canada. I didn't even know his address till the day before. I didn't even know where we were going until the day before. So I was like, okay, Michelle, I want you to find everything permaculture related on the way. We're going to go on the way. So on the way, first thing we did, observation. I'm looking around me and I'm like, good night. I've seen it and I've said it a million times. We're taking another route that we hadn't taken before. And I'm like, okay, what is this where there's no available farmland? Because everywhere I'm looking to my left and my right, for the most part, 90% of what I looked at on that road from here all the way up to Canada and including into Canada, all farmland, most of it ain't being used.
Yeah.
So this vacation, I'm thinking.
And none of it being used properly.
Right. But before we got up there, we're like, okay, speaking of using it properly, let's stop at Polyface.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we did. We pull off the road. First stop, Polyface. All aboard. Get over there. They got up 24/7. You can roll in anytime.
24/7, 365.
Now, I'm not going to go knocking on Joel's door, man. I don't know how he deals with that policy.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's been some uncomfortable times and moments. And you know, he said, and he's written before, that his wife isn't a big fan of that policy. She ain't trying to have people just roll up on her, and I totally understand. But anyway, that was our first stop. Mm-hmm. I'd never actually physically been to Polyface, but it was awesome to go there, take a look around. Okay, first stop, definitely wonderful. And then as I'm driving down the road again, looking at the different terrains and realizing how good everybody else has it compared to us in terms of their farming terrain, because they're not farming mountains.
Yeah, everything's easier after you leave the mountains.
Yeah. And then you're meeting these different people along the way, but it's still a party with a purpose. So we get on up to Canada, finally get over there. We cross the border. Now that was something else. You would have thought we were pulling drugs up into there. I mean, the way this lady read us the riot act, asked me three different times what I'm doing, and I'm starting to get annoyed, but I'm realizing, okay, you got to keep your temper in check. Then that's when I went on this prison vacation. So went down there. And then of course you can't get, and this is Mark Twain, y'all, you can't get a charitable view of the world around you by vegetating in your spot your whole life. That's loosely quoted, but that's actually a quote from Mark Twain. So I've been to Canada two other times previous to this, so this is time number three. Always loved it up there. People are always friendly, but find out real quick, you cross that border, man, it's amazing. As soon as you cross over there, ain't nothing in English. I mean, it's
well,
all
depends
French.
On which part you go to.
Well, go get gas. And first of all, it's in liters, which I understand because I understand, you know, all that and the conversion. And gas is actually cheaper up there when you do the conversion.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's not much, but it is cheaper. So you get over there and then you got to pay on the front end when you fill up your tank.
Yeah.
If you're using your card, it ain't no, hey, I'm just going to fill this up and bill me on the back end. No, you're doing all that. But then you realize, okay, real quick, I am in another country. It's all in French. So I'm having to get a crash course on how to get through this stuff in French. And it was cool. Now I'm realizing, okay, so we get around there. We're looking at what's going on. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm still on this working vacation. Let me do a little observation of the people. And I kind of covered that before. Kids are outside playing. School's letting out. Kids are walking home. They're in shorts. Nobody's on a phone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that's another observation. Finally, we'll make our way over to the, oh man, the Mr. Permaculture Orchard himself. And it did not disappoint. I mean, I know this guy's busy. I know the very next day he's got all day classes. Now, you know that this man is the cat's meow. When people drive or flew all the way from France for a 1 hour tour.
Yeah.
Man, it knocked me out. And I'm realizing now the whole day prior to that, we were with him all day. And we were with him all the next day. And he's got us out there digging up plums. I didn't get to taste the plum, but your mom did. And she swore up and down it was the best, like it didn't even taste like a plum.
Yeah.
She swore up and down this is the best plum. The apples I'm eating, the pears I'm eating are the best I've ever had in my life. He's cutting open these pears and he's going through these nuanced things.
Were you guys eating fruit the whole doggone time?
I was, yeah.
Because in that video, like the videos I was editing, yeah, you guys were eating
non-stop.
Grapes, pears, apples,
non-stop.
Plums.
I mean, he's using the grapes in a magnificent way. He's using everything in the most astonishing way imaginable. He's cutting open these pears, and each pear has a different smell, has a different flavor. And he's talking about why it does, how it does. And we're going to cover some of that. And we've actually started today incorporating some of his methods on how he does this. And believe it or not, it actually ties in with Elaine's work. But it's one thing to go through his courses online.
Elaine Ingham.
Yes, yeah. But it's entirely another, because I've been through his online courses as well. When you go through these courses, it's one thing to go through that course and you're doing it two-dimensionally. It's fantastic. Everything we've done out here, we've done a lot of it through inspiration of his work. And to see it three-dimensionally knocked me out, because his is much more mature than what we got going on here.
Yeah.
And you see the depth and what he's able to produce, how he puts all the things that, you know, these are things you can't possibly understand. So he told me one thing, and I don't want to say what it is just yet, because I want to do a little more work on it. Well, I'll just go ahead and say it, man. I mean, this is why people are listening. So he's aware of the work we're doing with composting and with Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, as you know, the bacteria and the fungi break down the particles, the mineral particles in that soil. Yeah. They make it bioavailable. And he's showing us the difference of using volcanic rock dust in these areas. And that is the key to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we leave Canada. We head on over to Vermont Composting, and that's Carl Hammer's place, the guy who initially inspired Jeff Lawton to make the chicken tractor on steroids, which inspired us to do more work on it probably than anybody else on the planet. So we get over there, and we're looking at his place. We drive through there. Now, nobody's there, but it's wide open to the public. So I'm like, dude, I came all this way. There ain't no way I'm not going up in here. They're going to throw me out. So I get up in there. We see his whole, I mean, it's open. There's no gates, no nothing. And I mean, if somebody's in there stealing compost, man, you got problems.
Which we have witnessed. Yeah.
People have stolen our compost before.
But it wasn't because they needed compost. They just didn't want us there.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story altogether. But we go up in there, and then I'm rolling through that place. Now, we leave Stefan's place, and that's too much to possibly put in this one. This is stuff I'm going to unpack for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that much. And we get over there, check out Vermont Composting. We get over there, and then your mom and I go eat at this place where they give you these burgers. They call them burgers, but they're really sliders, and they charge you $20 for them. So we get there and eat. And I said, you know what? We got to go back there. I said, remember that volcanic rock dust Stefan was talking about? Man, I think he's doing the same thing. So we go back up the mountain mm-hmm. to his place. Sure enough, I see these things. I'm looking at all of his starting materials. And there's, okay, Vermont's known for its granite. And I think he's making powder out of this stuff and putting it in his compost. I think he's actually talked about it.
Yeah.
You seem to recall that too, right?
I remember him putting some sort of rock dust. I don't remember if it was granite or not. But yeah, there's a video on YouTube that goes through his ingredient list of his compost.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. But I'll bet a king's ransom, because I went back and I'm looking at starting materials. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So Stefan's telling me about, I had bought this rock dust from the Farm Connection a month ago. And I didn't even know why. I just didn't. It's been sitting, as you know, out in the garage.
Yeah.
So then I hear this from Stefan, and then go over to Vermont Composting. I see the materials there, and I'm like, okay. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something here.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Well taken. I got it. And there was a lot of other things that Stefan told us about this volcanic stuff. Places like, in Italy, oh my goodness.
Naples.
Yeah. And all those other places where they got extraordinary stuff. Hawaii, where they got extraordinary stuff. Other places where they got extraordinary stuff, where they have all this volcanic.
There's some place in Japan, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how the radiation's affecting it. But,
well, yeah. Also that place in Japan that I can't seem to remember right now has like the longest lived people on the planet.
Yeah.
And Dr. Joel Wallach had basically concluded that it's basically by dumb luck that this just happens to be in the place where all these 90 essential vitamins and minerals just happen to be in the soil. And all these people like live over 100. And there's a couple of other places like that. Well, anyway, go to Vermont Composting. Ah, okay. I see what's up. Then on the way home, we're like, okay, we're heading home after we leave there. And I'm like, okay, what other stuff can we put in there? So we stop at the University of Massachusetts. Now, when I stopped there 7-8 years ago, nowhere near going on what I saw going on this time. Man, yeah. That place is blowing up. It was actually, I had no intention of filming anything there because it was unimpressive the last time I was there.
Yeah,
this time blew my mind. Not only did they have that permaculture, and it's about on, let's say, quarter acre or less,
mm-hmm.
and it's outside the student union, and they're using that food to cook for the kids.
That's pretty cool.
Then they have a garden on the other side, which just put in, and they got stuff growing out of there for the kids. And they have three other sites, and we visited one other. So out of the five sites they have there, we visited three of them while we were there, had no intention of filming anything. I got to be honest with you. Absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, when I walked into their mess hall or dining facility, whatever they call it there.
I don't think they call it a mess hall, Dad.
Yeah, well, I go in there and you could, I mean, they were like, yeah, I told them who I was and what I do. And they were wanting to give them, the chefs wanting to give me a tour. And I'm like, oh, that's not necessary. I got to get on down the road. Cause I was trying to get past New York City before dark, yeah. Which didn't work out well. Okay. So we leave there, took a whole lot away from that site of things I want to replicate in another site with a college that I'm hoping to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Actually want to change it up a little bit, but it was absolutely a wonder. So if you're anywhere near UMass, I want to give a hat tip to the people over there doing this. It was really, really a wonder what they have going on there, and you name it. They're even growing rice there, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I haven't edited that video yet.
Yeah,
so
they're even growing rice there. Huh. So it was, and they're doing it in a place where they couldn't dry it up.
Oh,
it's a place where they couldn't dry it up. So what do? The problem is the solution.
Grow something different.
So I would not have gotten a full three-dimensional view of any of this stuff had I not been there. So we drive through New York City. Now, I know I'm coming home, and prior to that, I had meant to reach out to James and Ashley at Strand Farm. They're friends of ours, friends of the family. I mean, wonderful people, wonderful. I mean, you name it, just fantastic people that are really, I mean, really something else. So as we drive through New York City, and I'm looking around of all the things, of all the reasons you shouldn't live in a place like that, mm-hmm. caught in total Sunday, man, absolute traffic jam.
I remember doing a consultation up there, and I woke up like at 2 or 3 in the morning and still heard traffic, looked out the window, and it looked like it was like regular rush hour traffic.
It was Sunday and it was jam packed. And I'm like, who could live here?
I don't know.
And your mom and I just couldn't get out of there quick enough. So found a place to stay the night in Pennsylvania. We didn't stop until we hit Pennsylvania.
That's good.
So I'm like, okay, we got up there. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So this is a whole lot better than the hotel rooms that that's another story altogether. But on the way home, last stretch, I'm like, okay, we got to hit James and Ashley's place. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I can't believe what they have going out there. It's one thing to see it in a video. It's entirely another to actually be boots on the ground in a place like this. And I learned so much about the natural building that he's doing out there. I mean, I don't know how much of this they're going to translate on there. The way they're doing compost, which is extraordinary. The way, and they're kind of inventing this stuff as they go. And I feel like I was just shortchanged because we got there and I wanted to, you know, try to get as far home as we could before dark. And then I'm like, good night, man. This is one of the unexpected things because they've only just moved there a little while ago. They don't even have
been there long.
They don't have regular power, but man, I'm telling you what, it floored me what they have going over there. I don't want to say too much, but just in the natural building space alone.
And they have a gorgeous property too.
This whole trip would have been worth it if all I saw was their place. I kid you not.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking how he's using rough cut, and then he showed me how he's doing it. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This is going to take longer, but it's going to last longer. It's going to last forever and a day. Most of us got more time than money. And honestly, it just looks better than lumber you buy somewhere.
Yeah, I don't want to reveal anything.
I mean, he's
anything.
Hacking it out of the wilderness, man. Both
of
them
literally,
are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
and it was a
All
joy to
them.
See.
Don't forget Moose, Dad.
Oh, yeah, little Moose. I love that little doggy. And their rabbit hutches. I mean, folks, I couldn't have gotten, and it felt embarrassing, honestly. When I left there, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. There was this wonder just down the road from me, 3 hours away, and I've never been here till now. I can't wait to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, they are literally hacking it out of the wilderness. And then when you find out their bigger, larger plans, this is exactly how it ought to be done in permaculture. And I don't want to get ahead of myself and talk about, but what they have planned there is astonishing.
Yeah.
I hope to be a part of it. I hope to help out in any way I can. I mean, whether it's just go out there and move stuff around. But, I mean, you look at their rabbit hutch, and I'm like, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing most of this stuff either with reused materials. Like I said, the trip alone, I was astonished there, I kid you not, as I was up in Canada. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was really a joy to be there. So then we make our way home, and here we are. So, folks, what I'm trying to suggest to you, if you're going to go out on a trip let's say it's going to A to B, and the only thing we really had locked in was going, and I left a whole lot out. I really did. All I had locked in was going to Canada. There was no way, no way on earth Mr. Permaculture Orchard himself was going to allow me to come up to his place, have his ear by myself when people would pay thousands. We're talking four G's just to get what I got for free.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't for free. I mean,
well, obviously. You had to get there.
Yeah. So, and then believe me, some of these hotels, man, I'm talking even the flea bags cost money.
Yeah.
So, you know, folks, what I'm going to suggest to you, I said all this, said all that to say this. If you're going to any of these festivals, and I highly recommend them, if for no other reason than to cross-pollinate with other people that, okay, call it a vacation, but it's the most fulfilling time you'll ever have. Like right now, I'm getting to hang out with my friends, James and Ashley. She made this bomb chili.
Every time she cooks, it's something bomb.
Yeah, like when she came here and cooked, man, made that rice.
Yeah.
Man, your mom was making it so many times. I loved it. You got tired of it, but.
Yeah.
I mean, but that all came from Ashley. I mean, it's just wonderful, fantastic people that you wish you could spend every day with. And you can't get that by vegetating in your own space all your life. And even though I spend nearly every day at our farm, it made me realize how much I'm not doing. How much, because I spend nearly every time here. And then I come back with this wealth of knowledge that I didn't have when I left.
Yeah.
That I didn't have when I left. I mean, basically a week on the road, and I come back with a whole new basket of tools. A lot of them I got 3 hours down the road at Strand Farm. That's I kid awesome. You not. Everything they were doing there is just flooring me. What they've done, how they've adapted, how they muscled it out. I mean, it was a... Folks, you can't... If this is your life... If you're one of those, you know, fair weather homesteaders, okay, well, if that's what you want to do and you're doing it, you've gone country or whatever, and you're going to go back the other day, you're going to go back the other way the second they vote Republicans in, well, I'm not really talking to you, I guess. I guess I'm talking to you people out there that you're out there literally like James and Ashley at Strand Farm, and go check out their YouTube channel, believe me. They are literally hacking it out of the wilderness. We've done that before more than once. If you're one of those people, y'all, you got to find your way away from the farm every once in a while. You got to get that charitable view. You got to go out there and find out how other people are doing it and take all of that stuff, cross-pollinate with those people, and take it home. That's the only way to do this.
Yeah.
And you could still have the joy of a, I don't know, call it a vacation. I don't really know what that is because I don't know how to travel any other way. And I'm going to do it again this weekend. I'm going to go back to the land, and I'm going to get another charitable view of that world around me. So hopefully, y'all, that's been a blessing to you. When we get back, straight into your questions.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow with your PimpCast tip of the day, buying and maintaining cutting boards. Now, through the years, I've seen a lot of people use a lot of funny things to act as cutting boards. I've seen roll-up flexible mats that are made out of plastic. I've seen rectangular pieces of glass with rubber feet on them. Old, beat-up plastic cutting boards that are likely releasing microplastic into your food. You want to get rid of all those things and get yourself a good wooden cutting board. It can be an end grain board or a straight grain board. I have several different varieties of size and thickness of boards. Now, to maintain those, each time they're used, I wash them in hot, soapy water with a little, the green side of a sponge, making sure they're quite clean. If you really think they need a little extra, you can also spray a little bit of bleach on them. I don't recommend doing that often. Once they're dry, you want to oil them. Now, one tip is not to buy cutting board oil from a manufacturer or online because you'll pay way, way, way more for it than you need to. Just go to a pharmacy and look for something called mineral oil. That's a food grade oil. Take a clean washcloth, and I keep one of those strictly for oiling my boards. Dip it in the mineral oil and just rub that all over the board. If you haven't done it in a while or never, you're going to be surprised how much of that oil the board will soak in. Do that once or twice a month and your boards will stay in good shape a long time. If you don't want to mess with real wood, you go with something called Epicurean cutting boards. You can find those all over the internet. They're made of the same material that skateboard ramps are made out of. Those are bulletproof as well. And I wanted to lastly encourage you all to check out my website, harvesteating.com, where you can find my brown duck coffee, all of my podcasts and other content, and also to subscribe to Food Storage Feast for $2.99 a month, where I show you how to buy simple, inexpensive foods like beans and rice, wheat, pasta, canned food, and make delicious meals all year long. There's over 50 videos on that site, so do check it out. And thanks to Perma Pastures Farm for letting me contribute. Take care, folks.
Well, that's a joy to get that on there. Man, I swear, yeah. I swear, man, we need knives made out of adamantium with your mom out there tearing
both
these
y'all,
things up.
Y'all heard man. Me before. It's both of them. I'm no, the only one in this house that takes care of knives.
No.
But
she's scraping the blade across sideways out there.
Both of them, y'all.
Digging in the garden with it. I mean, you name it, man. I'm, dude.
Both of them, y'all.
No, it ain't. I know okay. how to use a knife.
Also, the thing with the wooden cutting boards, when I was carving spoons and stuff like that, there was this one article that was talking about how wooden utensils, like spoons and cutting boards, are actually cleaner than the plastic or metal counterparts.
There's
and,
a
like,
really...
The wood actually is an has antimicrobial stuff that kills bacteria.
There was a nun. Man, I wish I could find this again. I think it was on PBS. She is a PhD, and they were making this milk. I'm not making milk. They were making cheese out of this mm-hmm. milk. And they were finding out, you know, the health department wanted to come down on them because they use these wooden buckets for time immemorial. She did the work. She's also a microbiologist. PhD microbiologist did the work and showed that the wood, the way they've been doing it forever and a day, actually is with unpasteurized cheese, the whole nine yards. I can't remember everything in there, but she proved that the wood was more cleansing than stainless steel or anything else they yeah. want to use. So they use wooden buckets, gather this milk, drag it on over there, make the cheese out of it.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so shout out to Chef Snow. Also, y'all, Harvest Right Freeze Dryers, got a link down below. Go check them out if you need one. All right, so right off the bat with the Q&A, man, we got a lot going on here.
Yeah, it's been a while. Got a lot on the Q&A section.
My man Don, he says, I'm going to be doing a song with his grandson, Gavin. Hey, and by the way, I'll have to work that out. Man, I really got to put some work into figuring out what song that's going to be, and that's going to be it. Kentucky Sustainable Living Festival, they're going to be there. Looking forward to hanging out with them. And, yeah, that's his grandson that plays the axe. So he's going to be knocking it out. So anyway, he just said, yeah, I just wanted to let you know that after watching Flat Earth Dave on Man in America, that I spent a rainy weekend and binge-watched some of the evidence of Flat Earth, I can wholeheartedly say that I now reject the whole globe approach to God's creation. And anyway, wow. Actually, okay, that's one. Four, now we also have some that are going to be
here, I'll keep a tally over here.
Okay, so that's 1-4. And, hey, I want to give a shout-out to Firmamental. Section. I want to give a shout-out to the Firmamental podcast for even coming on here doing it. And I want to give a shout-out to all of you folks out there that took the time to check it out. Examine it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you where to come down. And once again, I'm going to say yet again, to all the people out there that wrote me the nasty stuff, some of you did it very politely. Look, what did I tell you? What did I tell you? Listen to what I said. I'm like, I don't know that you proved a flat earth. You just proved that all the so-called evidence that they've given is incorrect. That is not proof.
But it doesn't even have to be all the evidence. It could just be one piece. If one piece is wrong, then something is going on. But talking about that podcast episode, the YouTube video of that episode was it was uploaded and all that stuff, and then YouTube took it down within like a couple hours, I think.
How about that?
You know the reason? Medical misinformation.
Mm. Well,
I requested a review, still have heard nothing.
Nor will you.
Yeah. Got one from the Texas Boys. The Quigley book you were thinking of is Tragedy and Hope.
Yes.
Quigley wrote another book in the same vein, The Anglo-American Establishment. How does he know every doggone thing?
Well, it's crazy because, no, he and I, man, it is crazy when we talk. It is absolutely, it'll floor you, man. It's like every single thing I know about,
yeah,
he knows about.
Man.
Every source I know about, he knows about. It is crazy when we talk, or when I was on their show, it is absolutely crazy, dude, how much overlap there is. It's truly amazing. But yeah, go check them out too, y'all. Texas boys, go check out.
They'll be at the Mountain Readiness convention too.
Yeah, they're going to be there too. So, give them a shout out. Go check out their podcast. You'll be glad you did.
The Fearless Podcast.
Fearless Podcast. You and got one from John. You and William mentioned a time back bending a tine on a broad fork. I haven't used one personally, but David the Good highly recommends Meadow Creature. He said he watched him move boulders with it. So, we bent one. I thought we did a video on your mom repairing or welding this one back together, because William got out there. I don't know that we did or not, but William went out there.
Yeah, we did. Because it was something along the lines like, can mom save the day or something. I didn't destroy the broad fork.
Well, I don't know how you got that thing sideways.
I used it the way it was supposed to be used, and it just couldn't hold up. So I got one from D. Aarons. Raw honey also works as a rooting compound. The antimicrobial and antifungal property also help keep things healthy until the plant you are cloning is strong enough to fend for itself, so to speak.
Glad you pointed that out. A lot of people like to do that. Also, Walter, he's one of the... Okay, remember I told you somebody came all the way from France for a 1-hour course? His name was Walter. Now, he's a Belgian guy. He and his wife moved to France. And folks, this will blow your mind. So you got people, this is a little side note, really ought to make a video about this, really ought to talk about it in greater depth. But check this out. Stefan is up there in Canada, cannot give away fruit to his members of the permaculture orchard. They can't even give all the fruit away. Okay? Oh, wow. And they're telling him, look, take a couple of bushels, man. We need you to take this fruit. And they can't even give it away. This guy, Walter... He and his wife, I don't remember his wife's name, but they do have a YouTube channel, and it's in French, y'all. I can't pronounce it, but they're Belgian. They immigrated to France, started a permaculture orchard because they were inspired by Stefan. Things mature. It's producing. It's blowing up. They got a great YouTube channel. I don't understand what they're saying, but I can look on there and tell, okay, this
might
is
be a good way to learn French.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things, because they invited us to come over to France and hang out with them. Well, he says, nice channel, man. We'll probably be selling the farm at the end of winter and start over with more simplicity. Here's what's happening. They're literally over there in France. They are growing all this incredible fruit, vegetables, but it's done in a permaculture way. And all of the people they're trying to do business with won't buy it because they don't understand the structure, because it's not in lines and rows. They can't even, his wife was saying, we can't even sell it to people making alcohol.
Wow.
Because they get out there, they look at it, and they're like, I don't understand this. They're like, well, let us explain permaculture. So even over there in France, they're like, dude, we're trying to give it away to homeless shelters. Nobody will take this. It is better than anything else in this region of France. Wow. No junk, no nothing. Nature doing all the everything, and they can't give it away. So anyway, he reached out to me. And he's inviting us to go hang out at France, and they want to come over here and hang out in North Carolina.
That's cool. So, yeah, out to North Carolina. We should take them. we should take them a few different places.
Yeah, these guys are going to be like, say what? But I don't know, man. Like,
these communities live next to each other.
Well, you know, another thing was that it really put another couple of things into perspective and got me thinking maybe I need to work on figuring out how to speak a language outside of cussing somebody out. Because those two spoke at least three languages.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least three languages. And Stefan spoke two. In fact, one half of the day, he did a class all for French speaking people, the other half for all English speaking. And he speaks Ukrainian on top of it.
There was that girl at Jeff Lawton's farm. She was a airline attendant for United Emirates. And she would get a raise every time she learned a new language. So she learned all the Latin languages. She learned Arabic. She learned a whole bunch of different languages.
Well, you talk
about
an incentive. I mean, Stefan speaks three languages. And, I can barely speak one.
Yeah.
And
real quick, this Siri thing on the computer has popped up again. This happens all the time when we record now.
How about that?
Yeah, so Siri's messing with the computer again. This only happens when we record. I edited on this thing all day. No issues. No issues at all.
Only happens when we're recording. So, folks, what you don't know is that we just had a major technical glitch. One of the few times we had to stop the program. Usually we just go live straight on through, but
yeah,
it's what's up. So Matthew says, every time you get, you talk about people who show up and want your grub at harvest time, I can relate. Basically, he's got friends and families. It's like that Snoop Dogg song. Ain't nobody showing up till you got something to harvest. And Matthew's talking about the very same thing. And I think that happens way more often than we know.
Got one from Jed on the Fountain app. And he said, mention the Trump-Oprah interview in the same pimp cast as the SS Liberty. And just like that, guy can't get on the fountain. Imagine that. Welcome back. Keep elevating that pimp hand on falsehoods anyway.
Well, thank you so much for that, man. It was, you know, it's, look, things are starting to get really real out there, y'all. And in fact, we're going to ask each and every one of you, if you're checking this out, please pass this podcast around. Give us a 5-star review, because the powers that shouldn't be are doing everything humanly possible to make sure this pimp cast doesn't get out there. This, so the only way it's going to grow is if you grow it.
Has literally been stagnant. Like the growth has literally been stagnant. About the same time as the Liberty
about
thing.
About that time. How about that?
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so here's another one. Permi Solution, not going to lie, that podcast with the Firmamental made my insides churn. Not going to go into all the arguments against a flat earth, but the permaculture perspective, we can observe patterns. Yeah, I got that. I'm right there with you, Joshua. I understand. So we're going to put him on the against column.
The nay?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more here, but all I said, and all I'm, until I do all of the grammar, because I use grammar, logic, and rhetoric before I believe anything. And until I do all the grammar on it, like I said, the only thing I've observed so far is that what has been officially taught to us, like so many other things, is a profound lie, but it's not necessarily proving a flat earth. But what I am finding out is that a lot of the things that we've been told are flat out lies.
Yep.
And that goes like right in keeping with just about everything else.
Got another one for the nay section, but that's it towards the podcast in general. 24 minutes before an actual topic conversation, the first being all guest self-promotion and fluff. Almost skipped the episode. Now I'll see what the meat of the episode is. And that was in regards to the Firmamental podcast.
So I guess
that's two.
Well, that's just a hater straight up.
Yeah, well, that's a nay for the podcast section.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a no. That's a no-go. But, hey, we don't do it for that reason, y'all. We believe it or not, we get... It's funny how we just hit a brick wall. Well, speaking of hitting a brick wall, the reasons why, Elon Musk, whatever his name, I don't like this dude. And I don't believe, you know, he's a double-minded dude, okay? So he's unstable. So let's just think about this for a minute. He says George Soros is basically wanting to torpedo Western culture, okay? And then later on that day, bam, Twitter drops. Completely shuts down, but he has a meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu later on that day, and then bam, all of a sudden, back up and running again. So, okay, I talk about the USS Liberty, and if y'all want to shut me down, I ain't going to shut up, because you know what? A whole lot of sailors were on that boat, and they were murdered knowingly. So I'm going to talk about it. And I honestly suggest everybody go out there, check out that documentary called Sacrificing Liberty. I think it's a 4-part series. You should check it out. And then you'll find out you're going to be asking some serious questions about all that. So Angela says, just wanted to reach out and say thank you for being an inspiration. Well, thank you, Angela. You're an inspiration for us. Always enjoy listening. It's always fun to hear. You mentioned me in your Q&A in the comments. So in a couple of days on another trip, we're planning, let's see here. Yeah, I'm having computer issues here. Let me just say, well, okay, it pulls up. Peace and blessings to you and yours. Thank you so much, Angela. Thank you for checking us out. Tell everybody.
Got one from Flyover Joe. Billy, I was just like you after 9/11. I had just got my discharge paperwork, but almost went back into the meat grinder. Looking back and knowing what I know now, so glad I didn't. Life is full of change, and when we embrace that fact, we can start to grow. Keep on pimping and spreading the truth.
Well, thank you. I'm glad both of us didn't just do a U-turn right there. Matthew, we hear from Matthew a lot. Always great to hear. He wishes us, safe travels up in Canada. I mean, it was a while, y'all, before I could even look at my email. And he's basically an agriculture class in college, and they taught him the other day the benefits of cloning animals and how it's becoming more common. Yeah. So this is going to be part of big ag before you know it, y'all. It really will.
Okay. Just on the face. Well, okay. We won't get into there. I got one from Vercingetorix. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Vercingetorix.
Vercingetorix,
yeah.
Oh. There's an R in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trust me on this.
What is that?
It was Vercingetorix, if I remember right, he was a guy that Julius Caesar overthrew, unless I'm mistaken here. He was a Gaul commander. If I remember right, he was a Gaul commander that basically Caesar brought back to Rome and strangled right there in the Forum as part of his triumph.
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. I mean, if you put me on Jeopardy for useless trivia, I'd probably get it all. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Vercingetorix.
I gave you some mispronounced name, and you gave me a history lesson.
Well, hey, I'm full of all kinds of useless knowledge like that.
Greetings, pimps. There should be a task force created by the people in the esoteric community that travel to both poles for themselves. That could solve a lot of problems. I thank you, Billy, William, and the gang for facilitating knowledge once again. I wish all pimps good fortune.
Well, I appreciate that. I totally agree. I mean, until I do the actual grammar on this, and when I say grammar, I'm talking, y'all, who, what, where, when, why, and how. Until I get that done myself, I'm going to be on the fence until I examine it to that extent.
But also, like, I wonder if it's one of the, potentially, I wonder if it's one of those things where if we were at the pole, would we have the ability to comprehend whether or not, we're still on, like, would we have the ability to still figure out whether or not we're on a flat earth or a round earth? You know what I mean? I know they're expecting to see a wall, but
I don't know. I mean, is the world much larger than they say? I know one thing, the numbers don't add up.
That's where I've been stuck ever since I found out about this whole, which was like 2014, I think. The math doesn't add up.
No.
The inches drop per mile doesn't match the circumference given for the earth. And it's not like it's a little off. It's like way off. Like multiples of the earth off. And that's where I'm stuck. I don't know if it's flat. I don't know if it's round, but it ain't what they're saying.
It ain't. I mean, there's a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of arguments out here on this flat earth thing. And there's not a whole lot of belief. I mean, like I said, just the things you're going to tell me, okay, just Orion's belt and the pyramids. Okay, lined up perfectly to Orion's belt. But you're telling me the universe and everything within it is expanding? So if these things were built thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, how is it they still align?
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of things that just don't make sense to me. And I'm not believing the people who are known to be profligate liars. All right, so Steven says, honorable pimps, anytime you hear yourself say, I could do a show on whatever, just do it. Don't worry if it's off topic, just do it. Well, thank you for the vote of confidence, Steven. Man, there's just so many things. I mean, just on Vercingetorix.
What if this podcast?
Vercingetorix, I mean.
What if we turned this podcast, we got rid of all the structure, and we just started talking for an hour. We give it a time limit for an hour, and we just see where we start at and see where we end.
We should probably do that as an experiment. Okay, we're going to take his advice.
We'll
pick a
first
just,
topic.
It's like going to be a show about topic. Nothing.
Yeah, show about nothing.
We're going to be, you know what? Maybe that would be interesting.
Should get the Texas boys on for that.
Yeah. We should just get on there and have a conversation about absolutely nothing and just see where it goes.
Yeah. Got one from AP Tongaloid. On a flat earth looking across a flat Atlantic Ocean with a telescope, the lights of New York City could be seen from Wales and Ireland, right? No, because that atmosphere would get in the way.
Yeah, your atmosphere.
The argument against that is like the atmosphere is your limitation.
Right.
But the fact that, like, you're able to see Chicago across the Great Lakes, I mean, you should be able to see, like, the tips of skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. If your numbers are right. So, like you said, if that's wrong, well, I got to start suspecting a lot of other things.
Yeah.
We got a really awesome comment. Man, it was great to hear this.
Is that in the yay or nay section?
Yours?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll put him in the middle, on the edge.
Well, he's just asking the question. Yeah, I guess you can say that's in the middle. Billy got the book and just finished reading it. Hey, thanks so much, y'all, who actually bought that book. We still got it out there. I can sign it for you. Great reading for newbies like us older folks. For newbies and us older folks, I'm 75-year-old Vietnam and Desert Storm vet, veteran combat medic, and he was in the 173rd Airborne in Nam and in the 82nd Airborne. Wow. And he's got one leg, and he's still out there doing it all, man. Wow. That's pretty incredible. 173rd, if I remember right, in Vietnam, they were absolutely decimated. They dropped them in. If I'm not mistaken, it was one of the only aerial combat missions in Vietnam, if not the only one. And they hit the ground, and they were absolutely put into a meat grinder. And that happened more often than people realize in Vietnam, where they put them in there just to see what would happen.
Wow.
And they dropped the 173rd there. I met one other guy when I was in the National Guard after I got off active duty who actually had that patch. He was in 173rd in Vietnam. And when I pointed out, I knew what that patch was, and I asked him about it. Man, you talk about a guy just clammed up immediately. So those guys saw some horrors over there.
Man. Oh, real quick, on YouTube, I was watching this one video. I can't remember what it was about, but is there a stereotype about the 82nd Airborne that like people outside the Army don't know about?
Oh, probably.
Like y'all are roguish or something?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, dude, it was... I mean,
like they throw all the crazy people in the 82nd or
well,
something?
Well, there's what? That. I mean, plus it's located at Fort Bragg, but the problem was back in... Or it was located in what we call Vietnam, and that place was a jungle, man. I mean, I could tell you some stories in that place, man, some really wild, crazy, awful stuff. But anyway, the patch on the shoulder... Now, it was the 82nd. Man, I'm doing a whole lot of history lessons here.
Yep.
Okay, so the 82nd Airborne didn't start off that way. In World War I, it was the 82nd Infantry Division. And then after World War I, it was disbanded. And then in World War II, brought back. So that same patch where it stood for the All-Americans in the 82nd was known as Alcoholics Anonymous. So,
okay.
Yeah. Because you had the most in-shape drunks you ever seen in your life. That's really
that wasn't the stereotype I was hearing.
Well, that's one of, I mean, there's a lot of, dude, there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on. I remember there was this guy named Randy. His name was Randall, but we called him Randy. And we were up in the barracks one time. And now they teach you that when you jump out of a plane, you could land, I don't know, 5 stories up. And as long as you do a proper parachute landing fall, you should be okay, right?
Okay.
This dude, we're literally in the bathroom at Fort Bragg, second floor, and he jumps out that window. Jumps out. I'm like, did I just... He hits rocks.
Oh, man.
Down below. And now we had like these rocks you had formation on. Well, anyway, boom. He hit these rocks, of course, messed him up. They ended up discharging him out of there.
It didn't work.
But, I mean, it was dumb stuff like that. If we could go 82 days without somebody getting killed, we would get a 4-day weekend. And here's what would happen. I can't even tell you how many times you get up to 80 days and then somebody would die. And then it'd be 81 days. And nobody ever mourned, sadly, nobody ever mourned the death of the guy that died. They were actually aggravated and angry at the person who died. Like he had it in for everybody, you know. Like, oh, we're on 81. I'm about everybody to jump off this bridge. Yeah, it was stuff like that. There was one time where, check this out. Okay, I'll leave this 82nd. I mean, there's a whole lot of stories in there. Remember, we were up to, 82 days if we can go without a fatality. So check this out. We have this emergency formation at the end of the day. Captain says, all right, everybody bring it in. We bring it in. We break formation, go in. He says, look, y'all, I got bad news and good news. Bad news is day 81. I know everybody's excited, and we got to the end of this formation, but this guy's wife shot him.
Dang.
He says, he got shot. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, man, that's awful. He says, I know. Good thing is they think they can keep him on life support till midnight. Dang. I was like, what?
Dang.
Everybody's just like, oh, yeah, okay. I'm sitting here thinking, this is the most morbid thing I ever heard in my life.
Dang.
I mean, do what? So it was weird, crazy, unbelievable stuff like that to happen all the time. And, man, I got some stories. I'll tell this other one real quick. So 4th of July back in the day, This is pre-9/11. Yeah. 4th of July would roll around. Man, believe me, trees were dropping. Because yeah, back in those days. I
think you sold that story.
I don't know, dude. We all had C4 and blasting caps and stuff in our lockers.
I think you said that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Where you were chopping down trees with deck cord or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, dude. We wrapped some deck cord around some stuff. Boy, me and your Uncle Jack could tell some stories. But it's like,
you should get Uncle Jack on the podcast.
Man, it'd be weird, man. So, yeah, we trees would drop, dude. And we were responsible, allegedly, for a lot of that.
Now you're the permaculture pimp daddy planting the trees.
Yeah, I'm planting the trees. Dude, I'm telling you what, we cleared a whole lot of trees out there in Area J.
Oh, man. Two, real quick, I got one from Red Moose saying, solid episode, lots to think on. I would love to hear Raul, Alex, and Claude debate Jack Spirko on Flat Earth. Thanks for putting this interview together. I'll put that in the yay section. Okay. It's positive. And then from Ashley NC. Okay, character limit, so bullet points. Flat Earth. The hot air balloon moves with the Earth for the same reason when you move a fish tank, the fish doesn't bounce off the glass. Air is not empty space and is moving with the Earth. On Nephilim, which is N-P-H-I-L, means a bully or tyrant. Well, we'll finish the comment. Angels do not procreate. Christ said they do not marry. Matthew 22:30. They are not made male and female like us. Further, we cannot even mix with a gorilla, which is similar to us. Angels are wildly different.
Well, remember how Jesus was asked that question. Remember, it was on the heels of the Sadducees or Pharisees. I want to say Sadducees. Remember, they asked Jesus, okay, you had a guy, he was married to a woman, he died, then you went to all the brothers. Mm. Okay, they get into heaven. Now, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus says, well, as you know, the angels are neither getting, there's no giving or taking in marriage, you know? Well, remember Genesis 6. Okay, I'm not going to debate this, but I'm going to say you might want to examine Genesis 6. You might also want to look at some of the apocryphal books like the Book of Enoch and some of the others. And there seems to be this, you know, this incursion on the top of Mount Hermon where these watcher angels went down there. Remember, the sons of God on Genesis 6 saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And then it goes on to say, created the men of renown, men of great renown, and giants were born on the earth in that day. So, I mean, it all,
but they also don't necessarily have to have sexual reproductive parts in order for that to happen.
Well, you know, maybe they do, but maybe it's just understood that in heaven, remember, Jesus was, he says, they're neither taken nor given in marriage. That was regarding the question of whose wife she's going to be in heaven. I don't know how it all works. I mean, all I know is what's in there. And
but I'm saying, like, there's an assumption we're making in saying that they created men of renown through the means that we are aware of. You know what I mean? We're making, like, through sex.
Well, I think it's implied in Genesis 6.
Okay.
I think it's implied, and I think it's also overt in the Book of Enoch and some of the other books.
But all I'm saying, I'm not saying that they didn't. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that I think they had various different ways to screw with DNA.
Well, you're probably right, because it even describes, you know, unholy things that happen with animals and
right.
some of the other things. But also remember, you know, when Moses sent in the spies. Well, they talked about these guys over there were like grasshoppers in their sights, and they came back with all this stuff, you know, and it was large. So, I mean, you gotta consider, at least examine it for yourself. I'm definitely in the Nephilim camp, no doubt on that. I believe that's what happened, and we can definitely have a debate on it.
Nephilim, I remember the naked archaeologist?
Yeah.
I remember he did an episode on Nephilim, and it was the first time I ever remember hearing the word Nephilim. And it was, and that was the first time, I mean, I was a kid. That was the first time I found out Goliath was Nephilim. Like, it was always just giant to me before that. And that the naked archaeologist was digging into the roots of the word Nephilim, and he found that it wasn't necessarily giant that it meant, but it meant soulless, right?
Okay, well, that's exactly what,
yeah.
You know, and then I do want to say also, the people say, well, Book of Enoch is not in the canon. Well, I don't know. It was always in the Ethiopian Bible. And then you got it's right there in the book of Jude.
Yeah.
You know, references to it. So I do find it curious how evangelicals will almost accept as gospel the work of Philo and Josephus, and you'll immediately dismiss the book of Enoch, which is quoted at least twice, I think, in the New Testament. So how is that? The book of Jasher, it's even discussed. I mean, but why ain't that in there?
Well, on the heels of this, from Jay Williams, I love the question, A for Everything narrative. If you want your mind really blown, read the Palestinian Aramaic Targum. It's the first five books of the Bible from the time of Jesus when that was the approved written language. Now read it next to a modern translation. Everywhere you find something extra in the older manuscript, ask yourself, what purpose would someone have to take that out of the new one? There's a curse to add or take away from the Bible because God knew someone would do it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it says right there, well, in the book of Revelation is where I remember saying it. It says, you add, remember, the book is not the whole Bible. The Bible is composed of books,
yeah,
plural. So where I remember is in the book of Revelation. You add two, take away. Well, that's going, you're going to add to your part of it. But, you know, I guess I don't really necessarily have a good response to that. I mean, or anything that's,
I would be curious thoughtful. To read it to see, I mean, just to see. I would be curious as to what is taken
I would
out.
Love to examine it.
Yeah.
You know, having the ability to read only makes you a higher functioning slave unless you, you know what
you
I'm
know
saying?
What I mean, Dad.
No, I know, but I'm saying in general, people say, well, this guy, it always used to drive me crazy with one of your uncles that because a person wrote a book, mm-hmm. he would suspend his own judgment and common sense just because this guy was an author.
You should send him your book.
Oh yeah. No, but I mean, he would sit here and just because, I mean, you know what? Hitler wrote a book.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Stanley Gottlieb wrote a book. Jolly and West, I'm sure he wrote many books and publications.
Aleister Crowley wrote a book.
Lots of them, actually. Yeah. So just because a person, you know, I don't know. I've always questioned these things.
Got one from Feral Hippie. All right. I'm not sure which section this one's in. If the earth is moving at 800 miles per hour in New Mexico, it seems that the hot air balloon would also be moving at 800 miles per hour. Why would changing the density to make the balloon rise do anything with the horizontal momentum? Seems to me you would have to apply a force opposite the direction of the rotation of the earth to end up far from the starting location. This seems to be the same reason a balloon attached to a rope does not fly off at 800 miles per hour. Maybe I'm just not getting it. This was an interesting show.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to, I understand the arguments on so many different things. Now, imagine you got a plane flying by, they drop a bomb.
Yeah.
Well, the plane's going 800 miles an hour. The bomb you drop from there is going to be going 800 minus the friction. Now.
Well, its momentum forward is going to be decreasing. Okay, so like if you're on a boat and you're going top speed on the boat and then you take a tennis ball and you throw it. Let's pretend it's perfectly straight up in the air and you throw it perfectly straight up in the air and it, well, I mean, it doesn't land in the same exact spot.
Well, it does unless you accelerate.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. If there's a slight delay.
Well, yeah, from given the friction of the wind or anything like it. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of arguments that we can pose on both sides of this. What I was really hoping it would do, really, the biggest thing is open your mind, like whether it be the Nephilim or whether it be some of these other things, to open your mind to at least examine it. Remember, the mark of a thinking person is the ability to hear any argument without necessarily agreeing or disagreeing with it. But, you know, I always lose myself with these people that, well, you said this and I'm done. Well, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. If I'm not always going to be in your camp, but I will examine anything. That's exactly why I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, because I have examined it. I've looked at it thoroughly, and I know in my heart of hearts that he's exactly who he said he was. And so it's through that examination, you know, and the biggest frustration is when you hear somebody, well, why do you believe that? Well, that's what I was taught.
Yeah.
That's justification.
Yeah.
You know, I was taught, my dad taught me, hey, you know, go to a bar, man. You can meet a lot of, you learn a whole lot in a bar. Well, how about a library, Pop? How about a library? You know, I can learn a lot there, too.
Last two comments from the same person. Got one or two from Libertas 91. The first one is, why do snipers have to calculate for the Coriolis effect? Real quick on that, I don't know that they do. I've heard conflicting reports on that.
I have too.
And then another one from Libertas 91. I live within 5 minutes of one of the Great Lakes. I can tell you objectively that the Great Lakes absolutely do have tides and waves. That's in reference to the Firmamental podcast.
Well, I don't doubt that it does.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I mean, absolutely examine this stuff. Find out. I just know there's some things that add up, very few, and some things don't add up, and there's quite a few.
But at the end of the day, the chickens still need to be fed.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get down to brass tacks, I think people say, well, why does that matter? To me, all of this stuff matters. Because if you know that you've been lied to, like, for example, one of the breaking things that just came out regarding the Kennedy assassination, we're approaching 60 years, got one Secret Service guy that after the thing picked up another bullet in the limousine, mm-hmm. just came out with another video of it, right? Yeah. So does it matter? Even though November 22nd, 1963, Kennedy was murdered 60 years ago, do you think that matters? Yeah, to me it matters.
I would say there's like levels of mattering. Like I would say the Kennedy assassination, I would put that higher on the scale than the shape of the earth. Because I weigh it against like, all right, now how much does this actually affect us? You know what I mean? Like the Kennedy assassination affects us way more than the lie of whatever shape this earth is.
I think it all affects us. I think one lie, if you can penetrate one lie, then it opens you up to be a little more skeptical about the next one you're told.
Yeah.
Or at least it should if you're a thinking person. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if you lied about the Kennedy assassination, maybe you lied about Hollow Earth. Maybe you lied about this. You know what? I don't know until I examine it. Now, I have spent more of my life examining things like the Kennedy assassination than I'm willing to admit. It is mind-boggling how many coincidences you got to believe in to believe the official story.
Yeah.
So literally that day, and the reason I think they did it so public was because they could have poisoned him. They could have killed him any number of ways. I think they did it this way so the powers that shouldn't be would demonstrate to every would-be president. So you got any questions about who's really running things around here?
Yeah.
We smoked this dude in daylight and recorded it and allowed that video to go see the light of day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's exactly why I think it should all be examined. I don't care. I don't want to be told lies no matter what. I want to know the truth regarding everything. But yeah, as far as the gravity of it, yeah, the one that really did, because you could honestly say if they murdered this president, which they did, then the government we have the American people haven't voted on a real government since.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can make a pretty good case on that. Also, once again, in that Carol Quigley book, Tragedy and Hope. Yeah, I want to thank y'all. Well, so you heard a little bit of both today, y'all. All right, well, thank you so much for checking us out, y'all. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. Like a cell, they want to split up, but the center of the next is me. Yeah, yeah.